Welcome to the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast. I'm your host, Amy Boyle, internationally published photographer and entrepreneur. For the last 2 years, I've shined a light on weekly stories through the 52 Phenomenal Women Project, a social platform and community celebrating women for what makes them phenomenal right now. Spoiler alert, we don't raise our hands often enough to celebrate our unique qualities that make us all who we are. Yes, you guessed it, phenomenal. What I know for sure is sharing of our empowering stories must continue, and that is why I created the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast, sharing the mic weekly with phenomenal women all over the world while we embrace what right now makes each of us phenomenal and therefore uplifting each other when we need it the most. Thank you for joining our community. I am so glad you're here. Speaking of phenomenal, you know who is? You are.
Welcome, Joyce. I'm so happy to have you on the Speaking of Phenomenal podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. I'm excited to be here.
I always start off every podcast kind of going, what's our connection? And when I think about when I met you for the first time, I think about a big sign that hung on the wall in the restaurant. We both happened to be, I was going in and you were coming out of it, and it said yes. And every time I think of you, I think of the word yes and possibility. And I can't wait for you to give an introduction to the phenomenal you for our listeners.
Oh my goodness. Well, I felt the same way when I met you. I thought, wow, this is a dynamic, positive, fascinating woman. And I hoped immediately that we would become friends and work together. And I believe in a spiritual web of people. We met through Bella Gandhi, and I think that there was a reason for that. So I'm very grateful to tell you about my background. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I've been practicing for 20 years. I'm super passionate about destigmatizing mental health and promoting access to care and awareness. I came into this field because I care about people's emotions and our connection with each other and the world around us. And I find my work as a therapist emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually rewarding. I am so grateful for the wisdom that I've gleaned from my clients. And one of the blessings of being a therapist is that we learn from our clients. And so I've learned so much. And I think a therapist is only as good as our own kind of mental health. It's like two sides of the same coin. And when I was in graduate school, I was afraid that my professors were going to see that I dealt with anxiety and that they were going to say, you can't be a therapist. You have issues. And thankfully, I realized we all have issues, and they supported all the therapists in training and getting therapy. And so I'm so grateful for my clinical training and my own journey, and want to share with people what I've learned and feel like that's my purpose in life.
The things that we think are our weakness are really our strengths, right? If we give a chance to pay attention. So tell me a little bit more about the practice that you have and where it all began. Like, what kind of patients were you working with initially, and who do you work with now?
When I first graduated, I worked with folks that were dealing with addiction, and I loved that. I learned so much about the recovery and resilience of the human spirit. And I moved from there to working in employee assistance program work, where I was an account executive and worked with companies across the country, started doing some corporate training and counseling that's assessment, brief treatment, and referral. And I saw a need. I saw a need for insurance-friendly practices in the country. I saw a lot of therapists charge full fee out of pocket, or they only work with Blue Cross Blue Shield because they're sort of the easiest and the highest paying. And I believe we all can benefit from therapy and counseling, and that it should be accessible and affordable. So I decided to start an in-network, insurance-friendly counseling practice here in Chicago, and it grew tremendously. Today, Urban Balance has 17 locations in 6 states and has an army of nearly 200 therapists helping folks around the country now. So I'm super proud of that. Of course, I made 1,000 mistakes along the way. And it wasn't always an easy journey, but I love sharing with others what I learned through my entrepreneurial process as well.
I'm so grateful that you listened to that need, because accessibility is huge. And then, so you have access, and then you help destigmatize the whole need and raising of the hand to having the conversation so that, yes, I agree with you. Everybody should seek some form of therapy, and it's so beneficial in the long run. That is wonderful.
Absolutely. We all need to do our inner work.
Oh, yes. Daily, in fact, I think, right?
Yeah, so I keep hoping I'm done. And it's, we're never done. It's so humbling.
No.
There's always lessons to learn and more growing. And very, very humbling.
Definitely. Because yeah, I think if we're done, there's something else that might be happening or not happening for us anymore. So I think we're always evolving. So that's good. We should, there's the thing that one of my kids in junior high, or I think all three of my sons that had the same teacher, she used to say, you don't have to, you get to. And I think if you just look at the world that way, a lot of things change for you. And
yes.
Even if it's total drudgery one moment, you get through it. Or hopefully it doesn't last forever, but you're lucky we have the opportunity, especially in COVID times. I think we look at perhaps the whole world and life in general through different eyes.
Absolutely. A lens of gratitude and viewing challenges as opportunities for growth and learning and development. And you're right, we're always expanding the evolution of our consciousness, both personally and collectively. And the world needs that more than ever now.
What do you think is the biggest need that we're finding right now?
Well, my gosh, since the pandemic, one of the silver linings is I think more people are talking about mental health awareness. So yes, I went from national keynoting around the country to giving corporate trainings around the globe over Zoom. And I'm so grateful that companies are doing this and promoting mental health awareness for employees. And I love giving people skills to promote mental wellness and build resilience. And so I think this is a huge opportunity to normalize. I think we all deal with, whether it's depression, anxiety, relationship issues, grief and loss, and help is available and accessible and affordable. And there are all these amazing tools from psychology that we can all utilize to live our best life, both personally and professionally. And I try to really practice what I preach. And so I'm always working on my own unfolding as well. I love that I'm able to kind of do new things with my work. And I've enjoyed being a therapist, but now I'm really loving speaking and book writing and serving in a different way.
And I think too, what we've always done doesn't mean we always have to do it. And what we have done in the past shapes who we are currently, but who we're going to be. And it's kind of a fun unfurling, like opening up this gift that we have no idea what's inside because we have the chance to change, you know, right before that last little part of the package opens, you're like, oh, guess what? I'm going to put in more effort on this, or I'm going to let go of that because it doesn't serve me any longer. And you have this opportunity to be a gift to yourself and then obviously to everyone else around you.
Exactly. And I think about that as like curating your life, that as we grow and evolve, the different branches of the tree unfolds and our life moves us in different directions. And so I've made conscious choices in my career of shifting away from certain aspects of my work that weren't as rewarding or fulfilling. And then I love to grow and develop and learn new skills. And so that's drawn me to serve in a different way. And I love supporting my clients and doing the same. One of my favorite things about being a therapist is mirroring back to my clients all that is beautiful and amazing and special and unique about them and helping them align their gift with a need in the world, which I think is something you and I have in common because you see that in all your phenomenal women and you shine light back on them, which is so empowering. And I think as women, we absolutely need to do that for each other always.
It's such an important thing to share because it's so easy to let negative self-speak get that one little earworm just derail a day. And if someone's telling you something really good about the way you smiled, the way you answered a question, the way you made them feel, all of a sudden you take that back and then it just, the ripple effect keeps affecting everyone that you interact with going forward. You've mentioned learning new things. And one of the things that you've added to your list of your repertoire is author. Tell me about The Financial Mindset Fix, a mental fitness program for an abundant life.
Oh my gosh, Amy, I thank you so much. I am so happy and thrilled and excited that this dream is finally coming to fruition. And I can't wait for your book to come to fruition and for us to be talking about your book someday. But this has been something that has been in my mind for over 10 years. I started giving talks in the Chicagoland community called the Psychology of Success. And in that talk, I would share what I learned from my clients, which are basically 12 mindsets that I've identified that lead to holistic success and a life of abundance. And I share inspirational stories from my clients and their wisdom, and some humbling and embarrassing stories from my own journey as an entrepreneur and as a woman. And my hope is to inspire others and to normalize the journey that we all go through and to provide tools to live a greater life personally and professionally. And that talk became really popular. I gave it for Fortune 500 companies and then transformed it into a book. And of course, went through years of rejection. You know, our paths are not always linear. And I think it wasn't time. I had more learning and growing to do. I hadn't yet sold my company, Urban Balance, to Refresh Mental Health, which was one of my biggest accomplishments and really cleared my life. So I had the time to focus on the book. And now it's coming to fruition at a time where people really need tools to promote both mental and financial health and resilience, because we're living through a global trauma that has wreaked havoc on our mental health and financial health. And so this book, I share these stories, I share inspiration and a lot of practical tools and tips from psychology about how to do exactly what you talked about. How do we silence our inner critic? How do we get over imposter syndrome or perfectionism? How do we coach ourselves in a way that is more self-compassionate and positive? How do we allow ourselves to receive support? So many times we're socialized to be, especially as women, good girls, or guys are socialized to kind of man up and be independent. We don't receive the support that we need, and we're interdependent as human beings. So I want to teach these lessons to help people recover from the pandemic and also really thrive and prosper.
I love the fact that you say right in the title alone, a mental fitness program for an abundant life. So it's very active, right? It's not passive. There's no magic wand and a thing that just goes poof, there's your money. It's not just even a mantra. It's a mental fitness program. So there's actions. Tell me maybe a couple of the key things that you think just to get started. They say the key to walking a million miles is that first step. Is that kind of the same thing with mental fitness as well?
Yes. I mean, each chapter, like I said, is a different mindset. And the first chapter, which I think is so important, is the awareness of having an abundant mindset. I think many of us, and I've done this myself, set our own ceilings with self-limiting beliefs. We tell ourselves, oh, I could never do that. No, it's great. She wrote a book. I couldn't do that. I don't have time for that. My life, it wouldn't work for me. We close doors mentally constantly. And in my practice, I learned how to hear that in my clients and really confront and challenge them and to help them expand their thinking to know that possibility is infinite and that, you know, we are all capable of greatness. And so I think becoming aware of that, because in cognitive behavioral therapy, they show that our thoughts precede our emotions and behaviors. So we need to get a handle on our thoughts and how we're causing limitation in our life and blow the ceiling off and expand that into a greater opportunity for unfolding. Another part is self-care, self-love, which I think is a real journey of, I think our relationship with ourselves is our most important relationship, and it's not easy. We all deal with that inner critic, and we need to learn how to be our own good parent, our own compassionate advocate, our best coach. And so these are some of the steps that I teach in the book to help people move forward.
I was looking at one of your Instagram posts, and it had a great graphic showing the whole idea visually, because I'm a visual person, obviously, as a photographer and storyteller, but like how to cultivate abundance actually looks like, you know, spending time in that garden and tending to it so that things can grow. I love that concept, because I think a lot of us, there's things we can learn, and some of us need to learn ABC, and some of us need to say, okay, it takes time, and you know, where do you get the patience while you're waiting? And how do you observe all the other good things that are happening to us while we're waiting? Because like you said, even in the book, rejection before acceptance, but that was okay when you look back on it, because, you know, you needed the freedom of selling the practice and growing all these other things and just learning yourself. What's your biggest aha that you've had in the last few months in all of this?
Oh my goodness. Well, yeah, in terms of the timing, I believe in divine timing, that sometimes things happen for a reason. And I liked your point about this isn't an easy fix, that my book is a program, and it takes responsibility. It takes effort, like a garden. You have to plant seeds. You have to weed out toxic relationships or things that are no longer serving you. You have to tend to it. And nurture it. And so that's a lot of what I'm learning. I'm so excited. I guess in recent months, the book is going to come out in Spanish and Korean. And so I'm hoping to expand things globally and really hope to make a difference.
Yes. And like you said, it should be global. This should be something that we take the time to learn from a young age. And if we didn't learn it at a young age, that we step up now at whatever stage that we're at, so that, because we can change and we can evolve. Tell me a little bit more about self-worth and network worth. That's hard to say. It's a mouthful.
It is. So something interesting that I noticed early on in my practice is that as my clients started to make progress in therapy, and no matter what their presenting issue was, whether they were coming in for depression, anxiety, relationship board issues, addiction, as they started to make progress in therapy, they started earning more money. They started getting raises and promotions and starting side hustles and their own businesses. And I was like, why is this happening? Because we're not even talking about money. And I realized that it's because in therapy, we're always working on their self-esteem and their self-worth. And as they started to value themselves and care about themselves more and take better care of themselves, they started being more assertive and putting themselves out in the world differently, being more confident, negotiating, understanding that rejection is part of the process, and to have a growth mindset. And so that was resulting in financial reward. And so I became very interested in the psychology of money, how our thoughts and our emotions and our behaviors around money affect our financial reality. And I saw that in my own journey as an entrepreneur. I used to suffer from extreme financial anxiety. There was a point when my business was in great distress. The larger we got, the more money was outstanding in insurance, and we were in cash flow hell. I laid awake at night thinking I wasn't going to be able to pay my staff or rent. And it was really paralyzing. I thought I was going to have to file business bankruptcy. I actually lost my best friend and business partner because the stress was too much. And so she exited. And that was a really big life-changing time for me. And it taught me to open myself up to humility and access support and business consultation, financial consultation, help from my staff. And I learned so many important lessons that I want to share through the book about how our mental health really is so connected with our financial health, and how by doing mental fitness training, it can improve not only your wellness and your relationships, but also your financial prosperity. And I've lived that. And I know it's true. And I love supporting others and actualizing that as well.
Well, and having a personal story that shows growth over time and change, I think our biggest thing for all change is getting out of our own way. Where does one begin? Especially because there can be such a hang up between worthiness and money and even going after your dreams. What would you recommend someone who said, I'm stuck at this level and I want to get here, but I have zero idea how to get started?
When we get in our own way, I think it's almost always ego. Our egos are our mind's understanding of ourselves. And if you believe that we are mind, body, and spirit, our essence is our spirit. Our essence is our deeper entity, whether it's our true self or our soul. And our egos, that's the part that holds the inner critic. It's the part that holds our pain body, our mental health issues like depression or anxiety. It's the part that we have imposter syndrome. We tell ourselves, you know, we can't do something. And so when we're stuck, we need to learn detachment from ego. And there's so many skills in mindfulness training in terms of learning to separate yourself from your thoughts and to connect with that deeper entity within, whether it's through meditation or yoga or different spiritual practices, so that we can begin to observe and notice our thoughts and respond to them consciously rather than reacting. And not letting our egos keep our life small. And on a soul level, we are all innately worthy and deserving. We are all deserving equally of greatness. And it is our minds that have these different narratives. And so if we can learn to set that aside, connect with our higher self, and really hold on to our unique gifts and align them with a need in the world, and access the support to make that come to fruition and tolerate the challenges that come with that, which is not easy. You're right. This is not easy. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of discipline, a lot of responsibility. I'm also a big proponent of work-life balance. So we're like throwing clay on a wheel and we need to keep it balanced as we're building our lives. And it's a practice and a process, and none of us is perfect, and we're all works in development. But I want to share how I did it, how I see my clients doing it, and how to help others do the same.
You need a network as well. And with ego being the lesser part of the equation, by being able to reach out, being able to have a dialogue of asking for help when you need it, or just even a conversation. So certain topics like money aren't taboo to have. Like, I feel like women and money in particular, that is something that you don't ask age, you don't ask weight, you don't talk about money. Well, but we kind of need to know all these things so that we can age gracefully, have an abundant lifestyle and all these other things, or live a healthy life. What do you recommend to folks so that they feel it's okay being vulnerable and yet protected?
I think trust in the process. And I've been there. I had such financial shame and anxiety. And when my business partner left, I was advised to visit a CPA and get a business valuation. And when I went there, my hand was shaking as I handed over my QuickBooks file, and I had tears in my eyes. I thought he was going to tell me I was going to have to file business bankruptcy. And what had kept me from going to him was my ego and fear that he would tell me that my dream wasn't going to come to fruition. But in reality, what happened was he crunched the numbers and said my business model truly worked and that I had a cash flow problem and he would help me. And so I was really doing a great disservice to myself by suffering in silence. And I think so many of us let shame do that. And simply by being vulnerable and sharing and saying, I'm not perfect. I don't know what I'm doing. I need help. People want to help. And I at that time in my life, I had people come out of the woodwork to help me turn the company around. It was very, very healing. And so I think it's just to recognize we all have financial struggles at different points in our lives. And there's a lot of reasons why that is. And to kind of separate our worth from those are financial problems. All our problems are how we are. They're not who we are. And they're changeable. And so I think it's just speaking up and telling someone. It's just like with mental health stigma, talk to someone, tell someone. And I think for us to share openly about our own, whether it's mental health or financial issues, it's very normalizing and relatable for others. And it removes that shame and stigma. And you're right, when we do talk about it, we can access so much more support. And all of us is smarter than one of us. So when I turn to the leadership team at Urban Balance and ask them how to fix the company, that's why it got fixed. You know, it wasn't me. It was my team of brilliant people who all worked together. So when we can collaborate, and I believe in having a personal and professional advisory board, when we tap into consultation and resources and wisdom from others, we learn and grow. And then we can give back through mentoring. It's all reciprocal. And we get in that flow of being part of the greater good and helping as many people as possible.
Oh, you hit it on the head there. I was just thinking about how many times the suffer in silence thing alone. And I think within the last year, it's been so easy. Either you've become a really good squeaky wheel where you know how to ask for help, or you've really retreated to the point of where do you begin? And I think, you know, I can't wait for July 27th to get this book in my hands so that we can start making sure that anybody who needs to access this can read it, understand, have book clubs and, you know, and financial wellness groups and all these things that are going to come out of this, because these dialogues are so incredibly important. And our authenticity, our authentic self is our superpower. And we just need to remind ourselves of that so that, like you said in the very beginning, to be the mirror, even for your clients, right? To listen and show them how fantastic they are. But then at the same time, in most, you know, like mirrors, maybe they're wearing glasses and we're seeing ourselves too. So we're all getting something out of this, right? It's because we're together, as I like to say, arm in arm, going to the next thing together. You mentioned to me creating a vision for holistic success and living an abundant life. Is that something graphically that you do? Is it a part of like a checklist thing that you work on throughout the book, or talk to me about the process?
So I have different tools that work for different people. Like you said, you're visual. So I do love vision boards. And so I encourage people to create vision boards. I create two every year, one for my personal life and one for my professional life. And for others, it might be making a 1 year, 3 year, 5 year plan, or writing out. Another exercise that I like is imagine your best life in 5 years. I did this personally when I went through divorce, and it was a really hard time in my life, and I was feeling pretty down. And I wrote a letter in the present tense of what I wanted my life to look like, as if it were actually like that at that time. So I wrote, you know, my kids are thriving and I'm thriving, and I have a partner who is mutually supportive and present and loving, and we have a supportive relationship, and really everything that I wanted: travel, you know, time for work-life balance and leisure and rest and recovery, and that I wanted to be a speaker, author, you know, but I wrote it in the present. And I promise you, Amy, that is my life now. And I think it was unlocking that door to allowing myself to believe that that was possible. And actually, a precursor to that, a little tangent, but one of my friends, I had shared with her about some of my marital problems. And she said, well, why don't you get divorced? And I said, well, I can't get divorced. And so I spent the next 25 minutes explaining to her why I couldn't get divorced. And she's a therapist. And she just kind of looked at me and let me kind of sit with my own stuff. And I started hearing myself and realizing I had closed a door for myself. And that really, that maybe that was a possibility. And although that was a very difficult door to walk through and very scary and sad in many ways, I think all of us are better on the other side of that decision. And so our lives go through metamorphosis. And so that vision, holding that vision for ourselves, it's one of our most important ways of being true to ourselves. because we are not happy if we're not living our life in a way that is authentic and genuine. And so some of the things that I've done, like I knew that being a mom was my highest role and greatest honor, but I love being a therapist and I love being a professional and I am an entrepreneur. And so I set up my business to support my personal life. I had seen a career counselor that said, you must plan your career in the context of your life, not the other way around. And I built my whole business around supporting women and creating work-life balance and having part-time flexible jobs. And I think that that's so important for our wellness, because if we take away from really meaningful parts of ourselves, we're not being a good custodian of our life to ourselves. And so that it takes tweaking as we move developmentally through our life to different phases. Like you and I are getting a little close to empty nest. So that's another phase of life requires reinvention. But I love helping people create and recreate their vision.
And you can hold on to your vision when you accept that you are worthy. I think it kind of all goes back to that. I too have had multiple conversations about it for the 52 Phenomenal Women Project. That's what I personally wrote about, because I, like so many of us, we suffer from imposter or the fact that, well, it's already been done before, but again, never through our lens. Our personal story, our hurt, our heartache, our successes, they are uniquely ours, but we do have a shared humanity. And then with that, we have such great gifts of ourselves, but things that we can learn so that we can keep evolving beyond the phenomenalness that is the book that is coming out. Can you tell everybody how they can find you online and so on?
Absolutely. My website is joycemarter.com, joycemarter.com. And the page about the book is financialmindsetfix.com. And it is available for pre-sales on Amazon and Target and Walmart, your favorite indie bookstore. And I'm so excited. So thank you so much for your support, Amy. And I would love to have future conversations and take a deeper dive into some of these topics.
Consider it done. We can kind of circle back and maybe just pick, you know, our own little mini audio book club to kind of go over certain things at certain times. Because like you said, certain seasons for different people, going into empty nesting is a totally different thing. Where are you at financially and physical and mental health wise? It's a big change when you've given yourself a role and a title. And who are you going to be tomorrow? Because certain things are the same and many, many things are different. I will make sure that we have links to everything you've mentioned in the show notes, as well as your original interview for the 52 Phenomenal Women Project way back when we met a couple years ago.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. And the photo that you took then is on my book cover. So I'm so excited about that. Synchronicity, it's all come together.
I'm so excited for you. And I know that I will be recommending this book to everybody I run into, because it is so important. Well, thank you again. And we will be doing our follow-up show very soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate it.
Be sure to subscribe now, as well as follow along at Speaking of Phenomenal on Instagram and 52phenomenalwomen.com. That's the number 52, phenomenalwomen.com. See you soon.